Security clearance level 3 or above is required to access files. Security authorization accepted. Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello and welcome to Battle Bridge Podcast episode 23, our briefing episode for the 2018 Northeast Unsanctioned Regionals Star Trek Attack Wing event. I don't know if we can make that title any longer.
Time and relative dimensions in space.
Nice. We are holding this event April 14th, the second Saturday of April, at the Dragon's Den in Wappingers Falls.
New York.
At 2 p.m. Yes, New York at 2 p.m. There's a $15 entry fee. Now, the actual entry fee might be a little bit less based on how many people show up. So I'm hoping that any extra money we can pull together, maybe order some pizzas. Hmm. I'll be quite honest. But $15 is just like a safe number that if we don't get at least 10 people, we can still have the prize support that we have planned.
Which we do have, and that's kind of neat. We'll get to that later, he said with bated breath. I was eating worms earlier, so bated. It's very bad.
Nice. I appreciate that. So here, we start each episode with a question, and our question this time is, which secondary character from Star Trek would you like to see get their own episode? And if you're not watching the current series, which one would you have liked to have seen in one of the older series get like an episode dedicated to them?
Hi, my name is Danish, and I think the character I would love to see actually get their own series is from Star Trek The Next Generation, Ensign Ro, Ro Laren. In the Deep Space Nine novels, she winds up being in command of Deep Space Nine, and she's a fantastic character in Next Generation, but I would love to see her sort of as commander of Deep Space Nine.
All right. I'm Chris. I'm really hoping that in the next season of Discovery, we learn anything about anybody on the bridge that's not the captain or, you know, Saru or Michael or Tilly.
Yeah.
But mostly the robot person.
Hmm. Yeah.
I want to know more about that person. I want that person in a few episodes.
Her name is Arium, and I think a lot of people would love to know more about her.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Pete, and I don't have a specific character, but I would love to see the Lower Decks. I want to see an episode, or even a series, well, not a series, but an episode where you see them all running around going, what the hell did they get us into now? Who's
basically
shooting at us?
Basically, Pete wants Titanic in space.
Well, actually, there's a book called Red Shirts that follows the non-main cast of a Star Trek-like show. And it's more complex than that. Like, it's more about how those shows are written. But it was like, the characters are like, yeah, if you see them, like, these four people show up in a room, run away, because you're going to die.
But I would love to, like, oh, there's the janitor mopping. Oh, wait, why is the ship shaking? Why are we, you know?
Is that sort of like, was the Death Star Repairman? You ever seen the Death Star Repairman fan movie?
Yes, yes.
There's also Eddie Izzard is a British comedian, stand-up comedian, and he has a little bit about Darth Vader going down to the Death Star cantina to try and get some food, and his conversation with the guy who hands the food to him. It's pretty funny. Suffice to say, I am Lord Darth Vader. I am in command of this space. We're on a space station. It's just very funny. Anyways, my name is Ryan. And, you know, I really wish that the webcomic Chief O'Brien Network didn't exist, because I have always loved the Chief O'Brien character. He's the only character in Next Generation that we saw when I was growing up, so very formative years, that was married and had his wife on a ship with him that we knew of. They also had a child, and that just fascinated me that, I mean, wasn't this supposed to be a naval vessel, but there were civilians on it? It was an interesting complex thing. That would have been my first choice, but Chief O'Brien ruined me on that idea. So I'd probably have to say I'd like to know what happened to Neelix before he met Voyager. Obviously, down on his luck, junk trader. I would really like to know, though, what was his daily life really like with the economy?
So given the popularity of the Neelix character, let's say that they made this show into like a subscription model
popular?
Show. Mm-hmm. It would probably cost you personally, it would probably cost you about $10 million to see that show because you are the only person who wants to see it.
Done. Done. Oh. Get on that, Paramount. Let's go CBS. All right. Well, for this event that we're having, the unofficial Northeast Regionals, that didn't make sense, but whatever.
Yeah.
We're running the obstacle scenario. Now, this is probably a familiar scenario for most of you. So if you want to skip about 60 seconds ahead, you're welcome. Feel free to. Otherwise, stay tuned because this is an amazing ride. So here's the rules, as according to WizKids. Each player must bring a set of 6 starter set objective tokens / obstacles. Starting with the player that has initiative, players place 1 obstacle face up on the map at a time, alternating between players, until each player has placed 3 obstacles. Obstacles, of course, may not be within range 1 to 2 of any edge of the map. Additionally, obstacles may not be within range 1 of any starting area or other obstacle. Now, as an aside, and a little reminder, range 1 to 2 of any map does not, or any edge of the map does not mean range 1 to 2 of the starting positions. So you can place it 8.25 inches from your opponent's start. Obstacles act as described on page 22 and 23 of the Attack Wing Rules of Play. Additional effects as outlined below. Space Station, you'll have to bring 3 of those. Once per turn, each player may have 1 of his or her ships within range 1 of his obstacle forego its attack, to instead make a 3 dice attack against any opposing ship within range 1 to 2 of its obstacle. Asteroid Field, please bring 1 of those. When an attack is obstructed by this obstacle, the defender rolls 2 additional defense dice instead of 1. Debris Field, please bring 1 of those. When a ship moves into or through this obstacle, it sustains 1 normal damage in addition to the normal obstacle damage. And finally, Derelict Ship, please bring 1 of those. Once per turn during the playing phase, each player may remove an auxiliary power token from his or her ship, one of his or her ships, that is within range 1 of his obstacle. So, now there are some examples that are on the WizKids website. However, it should be noted, you can use any 3, a combination of any 3 of those objective tokens. So, if you don't want to play with any space station tokens, you don't have to. You can bring whatever you like. And this is not to say that there's a maximum of 3 space stations and 1 asteroid field on the field of time. On the playing field of time, there could be 2 asteroid fields, 2 debris fields, 2 derelict ships, and 0 space stations. That is possible. So just
for 6 some space stations. You could even have 6 space stations.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah. Well, you know, the example they provide, we can just even generalize it. So the person who has initiative, if whoever hasn't built up to 130, like you have 129, your opponent has 130 fleet points, the person with 129 has initiative and will place their token first. Then the other player, and it goes 1-2, player 1, player 2, player 1, player 2, player 1, player 2. After that, all 6 tokens are placed, player 2 chooses which side they want to set up on. All right?
Yes.
And
that's all in the rule book, the new updated rule book.
Well, it was in the original rule book, but it's, I think, page 23 of the rule book.
Yes.
I was trying to put a
plug in, and so that everyone would know through implication that we follow the new rule book. Sorry.
Yes. No, that's all right. It actually came up with somebody running the turmoil OP, and they're like, I didn't realize that. I'm like, yeah, it's not. They couldn't find it in the FAQ or the tournament rules. It's actually in the rule book itself.
Very good.
Are there any TO rules, Chris, that you'd like to go over, house rules or what have you?
Okay, so the order of the events for this setup is that the obstacle tokens are placed. Then player two chooses the starting area on which he or she will set up. It's page 26 of the rule book, about midway down on the left-hand side for anybody who doesn't believe me that this is how it works.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Well, look it up. And then effects that take place at the start of the setup phase occur after you have a side to set up on. Yep.
So things like Jennifer Sisko.
Jennifer Sisko.
Jennifer Sisko is at the end of the startup
phase. Verderon. Yes. Verderon Pulse Trap is the real... It's the one that matters.
And speaking of which, it should be noted that Hidden Explosives is banned at our particular venue. So if you are planning on making a fleet with that and coming to join us, please retool your fleet accordingly.
Yes.
And speaking of fleets...
Hey!
Let's talk through the fleets that we've built, the example fleets that we've built that we will probably or maybe play at this event. And according to the order of things here, I'm going to talk first about my fleet. I'm going to be more probably running a three-ship fleet featuring Alpha Hunter, the Enterprise A, and First Wave Attack Fighters.
Fighters.
Yeah, fighters. I think that fighters are really good in this scenario. Lots of obstacles means you want maneuverable ships. And so Alpha Hunter, Enterprise A, and the attack fighters especially are maneuverable ships that can make it around these obstacles and do the things that need to be done. Alpha Hunter, for me, is going to be captained by Captain Lurin, who is a Ferengi captain, and he's going to have Rules of Acquisition as his elite talent. That's going to give me 8 Gold Crest Latinum tokens at the start of the game, which will enable me to do a lot of battle stations actions for the Alpha Hunter during the game. Free actions. I'm going to be taking the Photon Torpedoes from the Klingon Raptor card pack. It's the cheap photon torpedoes. There are 3 points on the Alpha Hunter. I'll take Torpedo Fusillade from the brand new starter set. Quark from the Deep Space Nine. And under Quark, I'm putting improved deflector screens from the Grenaris pack to enable me to have extra shields and also some resilience if I happen to run over an obstacle. That ship is a 44-point ship.
I'm shocked that you're using Torpedo Fusillade. It seems like it's a very not well-known card that isn't going to appear on every single one of our builds.
It's an obscure niche card, but I like to show kind of my WizKids pedigree by using these obscure cards.
Yes.
And to much success, I might add.
Thank you. Thank you. I have my pinky in the air while I'm saying this, just to show how much of a...
Are you drinking Earl Grey hot?
As far as you know, yeah, as far as you know. All right, USS Enterprise A is my second ship. I've got Captain's Chair as a resource on that ship. Jean-Luc Picard from the starter is my captain. Featuring systems upgrade from the hood, tack station from the new starter set, upgrading phasers from the Lakota, Mr. Spock from the Enterprise pack, William Riker, the defense Riker from the hood, Sakona from the Gavroche, and Type 8 phaser array from the hood. It's a 49-point ship that hits hard and it has decent defense. Captain's Chair is going to let me take tack station every turn. So I'm really looking forward to that heavy hitting.
Hey, you got some real bruisers coming here.
Yeah.
Then my first wave attack fighters, it's the Hideki, named Hideki ship. Galar class phaser banks and aft disruptor wave cannons are my two upgrades, allowing me to shoot at range 3 and plus 1 attack dice, and also to shoot behind me.
Nice.
The fleet total is 129 SP.
With a resource.
The resources I've already talked about. The Enterprise A is where I counted that. I do have some extra points. I might wind up putting a 1-point tech somewhere, but I'm not sold on that yet.
Yeah, this is... You got some real bruisers here, and not looking forward to playing against this. Like, literally, I saw this build, I'm like, okay, how am I going to use my stuff against this? Like, going through my head repeatedly of how I can deal with this.
It's a fairly sturdy build. There's not a lot that you yes. can really mess with on it. And I think it's going to come out hitting hard. And I think the attack fighters are going to really benefit from their maneuverability. And we'll just see how it goes. I really want to yeah. be in the running for the lead on this if I can.
Yep.
Chris, well, why don't you tell us about your fleet?
I'd love to. All right, so I'm flying four ships. Kempik's attack cruiser will be captained by Carr. I like his ability to give me an extra attack die
yeah,
against lower skilled captains, and it applies to all of my attacks. With torpedo fuselage, oh, surprise. Hmm. Yeah.
Imagine that.
Your pinky must be in there too.
Yeah, a little bit. I will staff this with a crewman of war from the new starter set and Drex from the Negvar to give me perfect quality on all my attacks. Really great.
Very nice.
Yes. This, accompanied by the IKS Vorn, captained by Lursa. She has the Ferengi missile launchers on there. That's going to give me two attacks, but using the Vorn's ability and her ability, those will be two attacks that I can get up to five attack dice each on.
Nice.
And I have Nagarin and Odo from Quark's Treasure, who will be copying Worf to give me perfect quality on all of the Vorn's attacks as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, that Lursa captain, is that the one from...
That's Lursa slash Vitor.
Vitor on the reverse?
Yes. So theoretically, if I wanted to flip it, it's not going to happen. This is just not. And then I have two support vessels here. I have the Romulan science vessel, the 6-point generic, captained by Damon Solok, who will have Goval and second of five under him, and then crewed by Nanklis. So this is my, if I come across a high defense dice build, you know, hard to hit defense dice build to cancel out those defense dice and get through that one.
With Goval and second of five, you're looking at doing that. Well, once.
I can only use Goval or second of five, but what I can do is I bring Goval out, use Nanklis, discard second of five, use Damon Solok to bring him Goval back, and then do it again. So I can do Nanklis three times. That's a rarity that it would be necessary, but who knows?
But most fleets I think you're going to see in this event are going to have three ships, unless someone is trying to run a
swarm
fleet, which honestly I had been toying with, not to like jump the gun here, I know you have another ship to talk about, but I had also been toying with a Jem'Hadar attack ship fleet. Because I think
that'd be interesting.
I think this is a good one for it. They're very maneuverable. Anyway, moving on.
So my last ship is a Ferengi Klingon Brell, so 13-point generic, captained by Kelvin Hudson, crewed with Jennifer Sisko to give me the tech slot for cargo hold, to give me crew for Belana Torres and a Gorn Trooper.
Gorn Trooper, great card. Oof.
Yeah. I get a projected stasis field on there to deal with high shield builds and Sutherlands out there that might be annoying me. The weapon Verderon Pulse Trap to kind of tie up some of the playing area, make people want to avoid it. And Sakona with the Ferengi Photon Torpedoes. So they're firing at, you know, full primary weapon value and throwing out an aux token.
Right.
And I will have the co-pilot resource for some shenanigans.
For some shenanigans?
Yeah.
How is co-pilot a shenanigans resource?
It has three things it can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have some... I can do more than one thing, so shenanigans.
Okay.
Yeah, this is... I have two bruiser ships with two backup ships, and you know, my Romulan ship has one attack die, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah, but not if you see, and that's what I think is kind of neat about this if you throw a space station down there, you or several even, you can use that to attack with three dice instead of one.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is if you play a shuttle, which, you know, is at this point almost an obsolete meta, but if you play with a shuttle, this is going to be your jam, because you're going to want to bring three space stations and use that to make your shuttle actually worth something after it's dropped off all its cargo.
Good point. So, Chris, that's a 130-point build?
Sure is.
Pete, what do you have? What do you have flying in this event? More than likely,
let's see. I have as my first ship. We have the Nistrum Kulla. Kazon.
Going Kazon. Interesting.
Yeah, I think I wanted to do a little bit more with the Kazon, but then I wound up only having one ship in the Fleepy Kazon at the moment. But we'll see what happens. I may tweak a little bit more. So we have the Kulla, and it's going to be captained by Carr, out from the Alpha Hunter, obviously. He's going to bring with him stalking mode, which is going to, which is a nice little, fun little card there. You get the target skip ship's captain skill is reduced by two,
right?
And then you get plus one attack die against the target ship, and
It's an additional plus one, so he'll get plus two because of Carr.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And then that effect lasts for the entire game, depending on, you know, if you don't do so well against that ship the first time around.
Yeah.
I've also included masking circuitry, which is going to give that Kazon ship cloaking. The T9 energy converter, which is going to be able to repair a shield as well as remove a auxiliary token from the ship. And the crew on this one is Cardin. And he's another Kazon. And his action allows the ship to gain plus two attack dice and roll minus two defense dice this round. And
so
finally, I wanted it to be a surprise. Torpedo fusillade.
Wow.
No way. Surprising
addition.
Well, this brings up something that is important. Cardin will give you plus two attack dice that you can use one time.
Is it one time?
So it's not plus... Yes. So, I mean...
It just says this round.
You plus two for the round. Yeah. That's... in. You can't... That's. So it's not... plus two for one attack and plus two for another that attack, because that'd be four attack dice for the round. That's the way it's been rolled.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you could do, and you get to choose which attack. You could do one on your first, like, let's say you're making three attacks. You could do one extra die on your first attack and one on your second, I believe.
Oh, really? You can split it up. Interesting.
Yeah, because that you have the as far as I know, you can split it up.
Oh, okay.
So that's a hard hitting ship. That's going to be a good hunter ship for you.
Yeah, and yeah. I wanted the Kazon because they have a nice firing arc.
Yeah, 180 degrees.
They have the 180 in front, and I thought that would be a good, especially good ship to have the torpedo fusillade on.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then my second ship is Bioship Omega.
Which is that special skill? I can never keep those straight.
Yeah, I was just about to say. During the deal damage step, if you inflict two critical damage on an enemy hull, you may immediately flip those damage cards face down and rotate the damaged ship facing by 90 degrees.
Oh, right, what a pain in the butt that could be in an obstacles.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have never been able to use that ability, but I always look forward to trying.
Yeah.
I think I got it once.
You put torpedo fusillade on that one with Worf and Drex, and you know you're probably going to be doing it three times in a game in a round.
That's true.
Well, the problem with that is that Worf is restricted to Klingon ships.
Yes.
Oh,
and
see,
on top of that, bioships don't have crew.
That's true. Good point.
Yeah.
Touche, Captain. Touche.
So Bishop Omega.
And that's being captained by the original starter pack, Jean-Luc.
Awesome.
And then it has biological technology. And that brings the ship up to 50 points.
That's going to be a heavy hitter as well.
Yeah. All right. And then my final ship, I'm only running three ships this turn. We have the Ferengi Klingon Brel, but the generic. And that's going to be captained by the Lursa Betor pair. It has reinforced bulkheads. When this ship receives a face-up damage card, turn that card down unless it is a warp core breach. Basically, I get to ignore almost any hit, any critical except warp core breach. Still get the damage, but, you know. It is packing a disruptor cannon, range 1 to 2, damage 5, but it's a disable for the attack.
Is that the one that's a secondary arc only?
Yes.
So you're gonna be able to fire that out only in behind you.
I don't think the Brels have a rear arc.
The new one does. I know that. Okay. And if it is the one that can only be fired out of a secondary arc, then it can't. And your Brel doesn't have one, then you can't fire that weapon.
You'll have to borrow the ship template from somebody.
Oh my god.
I wonder who has three of them to borrow one from.
Take a look at it before you bring it.
Yeah.
All right, no problem. I'm like, all right. Anyway, and then to round out the ship, or what was the ship, is Worf, the new one. Who converts blanks to hits? So
very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, looks like the fleet might need a little tinkering.
And you have the co-pilot resources in there.
I do. Sorry, I do.
You're also running a 130 point fleet. How about you, Ryan? What do you got?
I am also at 130 points. I'm flying three ships with my meta being a multiple attack per turn thing. Even if it's only a discard, so once per turn or once per game. I have a feeling that I'm going to be facing either a swarm or, you know, glass cannon type fleets where strong on attack but relatively weak on defense. So I wanted to see if I could strike first and strike harder, and so that's what I was going for. That first attack round, I have a feeling, is going to be pretty decisive in the battles. So I'm flying three ships. I'm flying the Enterprise-E, the Arasin, which is the insectoid Zindi ship, and the Defiant 1764. The Enterprise-E has Picard on it, the one that allows you to place two time tokens on the card to target all friendly ships and give them battle stations, including your own ship. And obviously, if I'm doing a multiple attack return thing, fleet, I want everyone to be able to have battle stations, and that action economy is going to help me out a little bit. I threw Sakona on that as well because I have four weapons. I threw systems upgrade on there as a weapon, just so that I could get the bonus minus two SP on it. Tactical station, torpedo bay for a photon torpedo, the cheapest of them. And then I actually, hey, what do you know, threw torpedo fusillade on there, which ends up being much cheaper than, because of Sakona, than it would have been.
No, it's not cheaper than
what's that?
No, it's not. Sakona does not discount the torpedo fusillade because it doesn't have a printed cost.
Yeah, and I didn't. I took that into account. Near mind. The Arasin has Degra as its captain, which gives me that plus two if I have a secondary Zindi weapon, which I do. I took pulse firing particle cannon, the good one that only requires you to subtract one from the second attack, and Kiafat Amansor as our admiral, which is kind of funny considering my other two ships are Federation, at least from, you know, that standpoint. I did want, because Arasin is the weakest of the three ships, and the most vulnerable, therefore. I wanted to make sure that I could fire first with it, and then if it gets blowed up, it gets blowed up. So I took Patience is for the Dead as Kefet Amonsor's elite talent so that I get to shoot first.
Check first.
And Trillium D for just those extra two damage soaks. And finally, on the Defiant, 1764, I have Kirk on there with the skill of all talents cost 3, and you can put 2 of them and it goes down. I took Cheap Death, which I'm probably going to end up changing, because it doesn't support the meta that I'm trying to go for, and Fire at Will, which allows me to make an attack with my primary and secondary weapon. For my secondary weapon, I have Forward Weapons Grid, which is a 6 attack, but I divide it between 2 ships, and then I can also attack a 3rd ship with my primary weapon if I use Fire at Will at the same time. Upgraded phasers to improve that primary attack against that 3rd ship, and I mean, in that first round, I'm making, if I'm facing a fleet of 3, potentially, if I've flown well, 3 attacks for the Enterprise-E, 2 attacks for the Rassen, and up to 3 for the Defiant. So that's in 1 round. Full dice. Nice. Almost full dice. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know what I'll do. I may do that, but there's some things that I think I'm going to try and tweak a bit to try and just get squeeze every last ounce. That's where I'm headed.
You're not using a resource at all here.
I'm not. I didn't. I wanted to do this build. I've wanted to play this build for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And this seems to be a good opportunity for me to do it. Plus, from what I understand, there's some people who are interested in coming up from the Deep South, a.k.a. somewhere near the Mason-Dixon line, because I'm from Maine and that's the Deep South. And also down from the Quebec-Montreal area, which I'm very excited about, too. And maybe Rhode Island was a possibility, too. So, you know, if people are going to travel that far, this isn't a fleet that's going to be, going to win at Worlds, but I at least want to give them a run for their money. So, if they're going to travel that far, I want to try and make a challenge for them. That's my hope. If I don't win, I don't win. If I fail horribly, I fail horribly. But if I can make it worth their time to travel, that's really what I'm looking for.
Very good.
Cool.
So, four fleets. It looks like a common theme, if I can say. I mean, obviously, Torpedo Fusillade is on every fleet, but. But I think that's indicative of the fact that all four fleets are hard-hitting fleets. These are fleets that are looking to deal serious damage early on, and I think that's a very interesting thing. I'm not sure if you're listening to this and you're thinking about coming to the unsanctioned regionals, you're going to be saying to yourself, if you're smart, okay, I got to find a way to deal with an early heavy attack.
Yes.
However, that's just how our meta tends to play, and I mean, I know that that's not as common at the upper echelon of players of this game. I have a feeling the best fleets at Worlds are going to be control fleets, be it through mines, or especially through upgrades that target enemy upgrades outside of combat and mess with the plan of the opponent. That's actually where this game seems to be headed, in my opinion, based on the cards we've seen revealed and the cards that have come out in the packs. And quite honestly, I think that cards that prevent those types of things from happening are going to be essential in winning Worlds fleets. But not at our venue.
No, thankfully, in our venue, it's everyone's tries. We're all keeping in mind that we want to have a good time. We don't want anyone to feel like, why did I bother showing up? And so we try to avoid the heavy, you know, 3 or 4 cloaked mine builds. So.
We also have
go ahead, Pete.
I was going to say, we also have a large number of younger kids playing with us as well, and they don't have quite the financial access to some of the older guys.
Maybe not the financial stuff, but man, are their brains just hardwired for figuring out the best combinations in this game.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
You weren't there, Ryan, but at the last event, we had a new, brand new player, first time playing. Literally, Timothy taught him how to play the game just before we started.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up with a win in his first game, and he wound up doing very well for a first-timer. He did very well in the thing and showed a lot of good strategy, even though he wasn't real familiar with the mechanics of the game. I thought he did great strategically.
Well, us dinosaurs are going to have to figure something out.
We don't have to up our game.
You're going to have to become like the Greg Maddox of Star Trek Attack Wing. When he got older, he went from being... So this is context. Sorry, I also love baseball. Greg Maddox was a pitcher for the Cubs. And he was a lightning-fast fastball pitcher. That was his specialty. As he got older, obviously, he lost the velocity because his arm aged as well. And so he became a finesse pitcher, which is the ability to place the ball where you want it to try and fool the hitter. And so that's how he had to change. And yeah, that's what I meant.
Thanks for explaining that. What's baseball?
That's a thing
it's
called
a British
sport.
Game. It's a British game where you have these guys that stand in front of these three poles, and one of them throws a ball.
It has to
bounce.
The other
one has a little, yeah, it has to bounce. And the other one has a mallet, and they try to whack the ball.
I thought that was called reverse hoopsicord. Maybe I'm
you know, I think after that joke, Chris, I'm hearing crickets.
Oh, jeez.
Nice.
Terrible.
And on that note, Pete, what's our news?
So, I know we...
He's in our news roundabout.
That's right.
We're all dead. I'm sorry.
As long as I'm not running about. But anyway, that's fine. As we've been hinting all through the podcast tonight, I know it's a big secret. The unsanctioned Northeast Star Trek Attack Wing regional event will be held 2 p.m. on April 14th at the Dragon's Den on 939 Route 376 in Wappingers Falls, New York, 12-5-12590. As Chris did mention, the entry fee currently is $15, but may be modified depending on how many people we actually get into attendance. Let's see, our next item. All Attack Wing products released before April 1st, 2018 are legal, except for hidden explosives, which have been banned for this event. All Wharf rulings made before April 7th will be in effect. And finally, we will be following the standard suggested tournament format. 130-point fleets with a minimum of three ships and a 50-point cap per ship.
I'm sorry, we're laughing because we have a Google Doc with a round and we're just messing with it. Okay. So
someone's missing
a
copy while I'm trying to read it, yeah.
Yes. I was able to square away the prize structure. At least, hopefully this will be the minimum of what we can do. The first place, overall first place, will get to choose between the new starter set, the new Romulan faction pack, even though there is only one of them, or the original starter set. Second place will get choice of what remains, and then we will do a fellowship or door prize for the third one.
Wow.
If we have enough, I will see if we can do make that the third place prize and maybe bust out some of the old blind boosters as other prizes.
That's fantastic.
But that'll all depend on how many people show up. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be able to provide that level of prizes. Last year we just kind of raided what was left of old prices.
Really grateful to the new owner of the Dragon's Den, Michael, who is committing himself to support our Attack Wing endeavors, and we're glad that the Dragon's Den is going to be up and running and going to be a fantastic venue for these events. So thanks, Michael. We appreciate your support. And that brings us to the end of our show for today. This has been the Star Trek Attack Wing Battle Bridge podcast, episode number 23, discussing the 2018 Northeast Unsanctioned Regionals using the obstacle scenario. Thank you so much for joining us for this program. We have a great time shooting the videos with you, and we hope that you are as well. Please certainly leave any comments below this file and let us know how you like it. Let us know on Facebook. We're really glad to talk to you about it. I'm sorry. Yeah. I will never stop talking. Never.
So I just found out, I got a new phone and I was trying out new podcast apps. Our podcast appears on Stitcher.
Hey.
So that's really cool. And I'm going to look into get it on iTunes.
You know what else is on Stitcher? Greg Maddux.
Is he really?
No, I don't even know who Greg Maddux is. I don't know what Stitcher is. This is all a mystery. Thanks for
Stitcher's a way you can access podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Star Trek Attack Wing Battle Bridge. We will talk to you with our debriefing episode after the event takes place. Thank you so much, and live long and prosper.
Program complete.